Evening, everyone. Not the nicest night to be out, but thank everyone for coming. I prepared these few thoughts before Dwight spoke on Sunday night, but it kind of worked out pretty good because he set the stage for me in one way, because when he talked about Ruth and Boaz, and he talked about more specifically about Ruth and Naomi, and the things that he discussed was, you know, he didn't get very far, but he did talk about the struggles that they would be going through, whether it was anxiousness or stress, depression, you know, anxiety, these things. And it was kind of neat to see it how it all came together. But, you know, before he had spoke, I had had these thoughts, and I was just, you know, when Leonard asked me to do this, it's not going to be a half-hour thing or anything like that. But I was thinking before that these two ladies, you know, the thing they needed most at the stage of their life where they were at is obviously for God to come into their lives and they could see that. But they really needed encouragement. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight for a few short thoughts on encouragement. Because everybody in one way or another needs encouragement. And whether you become the one doing the encouraging or you be the one that gets it, still you need it. Because when you get it, it can make quite a difference in your life. So I just want to have a few thoughts tonight, and I'm going to read five scriptures, and I'd really like you to turn with me, and we'll go through these because they're going to be quick. And the first one's going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. It is. I've got to the point now where self-denial is out the window, and I cannot read without my glasses anymore. So age has caught up with me, so I need them. So let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 33, okay? Now these verses, when I read these verses, you just read them and you go over them and you just keep reading them. Like I thought of them because I needed to think about them with this situation, but they're very subtle. You read by them and you just keep booting along and you read and you wouldn't think too much about it. But we'll read this one verse. And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free. Now here's what we want to look at. For they were employed in that work day and night. And flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 2. Keeping the same thought here. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service. So they did have a service. The priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, and to minister, to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So we see here that they did have a job. Their responsibility was for burning incense and giving thanks and praising the Lord in song. And as I was, you know, they had a job to do, and this was their job. And I want to flip over to now Psalm 134, because it ties this little thought together. Psalm 134, verse 1. And so we see here it says, I remember John McKim speaking one time years ago, and he said, wait till the pages stop turning before you read. He said, it's a lovely sound, so it's nice to hear. Psalm 134, verse 1, it says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. So here we see the Levites and the priests, they had a job to do. And their job was to, like I said before, to burn the incense and to offer praise to the Lord. But here in Psalm 134, like I said, it's very subtle, but it says, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. So here we have a little word of encouragement for these men that were doing the job that God asked them to do. And we see that they are getting encouraged because they do it. And I just want to go to Ruth now. I'm going to read all the verses I need to read in one reading here, but we'll go to Ruth chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 15. Now, like I said before, these are very simple acts that you can just read, and you might not think anything of it. But it says in verse 15 of chapter 2 of Ruth, it said, "And when she was risen up to glean," which was Ruth, "Boaz commanded his young man, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not.'" So we have two different examples here of one that was the encouragement has been done. One is that they would encourage them with a word. When the priests were encouraged because the other people say, "Bless ye for the work that you're doing." So that is one way we can encourage people. Now, I'm not sure if you're an encourager or if you like to or if you don't think about it much, but it's something each believer should be doing, because that's how we help other believers grow, is by doing these things. So one was in word and the other was in deed. Now, you can well imagine that Ruth would know exactly, if she was gleaning them fields, she would be used to getting so much, and that would just be the way it is. And then all of a sudden, Boaz tells his workers to leave some extra for her. And so then all of a sudden, she comes up, and wow, there's a bunch more there in the ground. Like, she wouldn't have been stupid. She would have known that something was set up for her. So here we have a way, you know, because the book of Ruth is full of encouragement. If you start reading that book, looking at ways that that book encouraged her or Naomi or whomever, it's rampant. It runs through and through. But here the encouragement was done because of a deed, because Boaz had left the grain for her to get, which they needed to keep going. She goes home and tells Naomi, and then the story is good, and on it goes. But if I asked you tonight, you know, have you encouraged somebody lately, or have I, you know, what would you say? You know, and you say, well, how would I encourage anybody? Well, there's many different ways, you know. A simple thing, back in the old days, you used to just, you know, you'd meet somebody and say, "Do you want to go for coffee?" And you could do that. Nowadays, with all the technology, you can send an email, you can send a text. And they may seem like simple little things, but you don't know the timing at all of you if you may do that. And you know, you may send even a text to somebody in the middle of the afternoon. Like, to be honest with you, the last month has been filled with me with quite a few doctor visits. And you know, when you go to the doctor, they ain't quick. They aren't. You're waiting a lot. And that was my time where I would sit down and start texting people. And it might seem too weird if they were coming in the morning or the middle of the afternoon. But the Lord would lay somebody in my mind, and I'd try saying, send a quick text out to. But you know, there's things you can do. You know, I've had lots of times where I've just gone out with a coffee with somebody. And you know, I remember Cliff Campbell telling me, you know, I was asked to come into the oversight back in 2012 or 2000, I can't remember now, but I phoned Cliff up I wrote it down, but I phoned Cliff up and I said, "Cliff, do you got any advice of a young fellow going into the oversight?" He said, "Greg, I got a good piece of advice to you, and I'm only going to give you one." I said, "What's that, Cliff?" He said, "Do lots of listening and not too much talking." He said, "Wait till you get your feet wet with the older men," and he said, "they'll bring you along." And that's exactly the attitude I took. And this, I learned, and, you know, the men got comfortable with me, and it worked out, you know, for me. It was a piece of advice that I took, but it was encouragement to me, because he was right in how things unfold. It worked out good. But, you know, just don't be scared to do these things, because it amazes me the Lord's timing. And you may be thinking, well, I'm just doing, I'm making a phone call or send an email or whatever. And you might not think anything of it, but I think it's pretty important that we know that when we do these things, that it doesn't go just into the wind and all, forgot about it. And you may never hear anything about it either. You just don't know. And sometimes you might, but, you know, it's just important that I think that we do that, because it's one thing to say you're going to do something. My wife will tell you, I say a lot of things that I'm going to do, but the list is long that I get done is a different thing. But, you know, I think it's important that we just take the time to just to do it. And I know a few years ago, and I don't even know how it started, but I know it was with Austin Clements and me. I say a few years ago, but it was probably 10 now. But what we decided to do was have an accountable partner. And that partner was just to give you a phone call and say, hey, Greg, how you doing? You struggling with anything and whatnot? And, or can I pray for you for anything? And I'll tell you, that was a real encouragement to me. And it's... The easy way, I guess, for me to explain it is that it really held me accountable, because I wanted to be ready for Austin for the next phone call that I made, that, you know, I could share this word, or, you know, Austin, I've been praying for you, or whatever. But it really is. And for those, I think, who struggle with a sin, and a specific sin, whatever it is, and there can be lots of them, I think it's pretty important that you find one that you trust, and you got to trust them. But you confide in them and start that relationship, because if they need help, you want to be able to help them. And that's, I just think it's an important thing that we can do it that way too. I think in another capacity too, that, you know, and it doesn't matter in the Lord's work, period, that if we are doing things to try to encourage people, that we're not doing it for anything, or for people to look at us and say, wow, look at him, isn't he a great guy because he did that or this, you know. Humbleness before the Lord will carry you a long way in your spiritual life. And if you're not, you can get cut down pretty quick, and he'll show you why. But I think it's just important that we put self on the back burner. You know, I try to, when I go to camp in the summertime, and I don't always succeed at it, but when I go through the gates at Emmanuel Bible Camp, I try to put self as far back in the rear seat as I can get it, because the camp is a good ministry for people who need it, and I don't want to bog it down, you know. So I just, you know, you try to put it behind you, but it can be an encouraging place. And I think, you know, just before I close on these thoughts, if you're struggling spiritually and whatever way, you know, maybe you just lost the gumption to keep going. Maybe you're not reading is very good. Maybe your prayer life stinks. I don't know what it is. But a good way to start getting out of a spiritual slump is to start to try and encourage somebody. And I've been there before. And, you know, let's call it a jump start as far as the cars go. You know, and just as I close, and I don't want to say this as bringing any glory to myself or looking for any pity, because I'm not, but I know what it's like to get encouraged. And I've been there many a times, like not me giving it, but me taking it. You know, a knock on the door when you didn't expect it, you know, a phone call to come your way, an envelope that was there that had something in it that you would never expect it in a million years. And you know, I've had my share of downtime, as many of you know, and like I said, I'm saying this as an example, not to make myself look anything good or anything like that, but when you're the recipient of encouragement, it can be encouraging, because, you know, last November, that was the 21st time I've been on the operating table. So I know what it's like for downtime, and I know, like, when I've been down, I don't mean down in the dumps. I mean down physically. Like, I know my last knee replacement, when it didn't go so good, I never left the house for 6 weeks except for once to go see the doctor. And they can be times where, you know, your thoughts get in your head and they can almost haunt you, but I'll tell you, they can be the best times to grow against the Lord. And, you know, and I've been so blessed over the years, and there's you know, the majority of the people that I've been encouraged with go to this assembly. Because this is where my friends are, this is where my family is, and this is where I want to be. But, you know, I'll just say as I close, you know, try to give somebody some encouragement, and if you take it, it doesn't hurt to give it back, because it's a pretty important tool. This is not my thought, but I came across it as the other night I woke up, or the other morning I woke up early, and I was just doing some reading, and I'll close with this. It may seem insignificant to say a word or two, but when it is encouragement, what wonders it can do. Our Father, we just thank you for this time we can come together tonight. We thank you for the prayer time. And we just know, as we even mentioned the people here tonight, that there's people that are need encouragement and that they need to be prayed for, Lord. So we just ask that you would help each one. We think of even the concerts that Jesse has had the last couple of nights, that the benefits were going to the underfunded missionaries. So we know that people there, wherever that money would go, would be an encouragement to them. So, Lord, just help us to be faithful to you. We thank you for the relationship that we're able to have with you. We know you as our Savior, and what a privilege it is to know that. And just ask for your guidance with this assembly as it moves forward. And thank you again for our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.